Saturday, the 1st of June. Brett didn't turn up till 4:45 this afternoon, so we had to set off in a hurry. We wished to get to our destination before 7 o'clock, as country shops generally close about that time. We fixed on a place at Hai Ongar, which was mentioned in the handbook, and reached there just before 7 o'clock, and were fixed up straight away. We had a small field to ourselves, and though there was no immediate shelter from the wind, which was fairly strong from the east, we pitched our tent facing about northwest. It took us about half an hour to erect the tent, mostly because we were unused to it, and we secured some bacon and eggs from the cafe whose field it was. I bought some paraffin for the stove and spent an hour trying to light it. I found out eventually that I was pumping with the air valve unscrewed so that a fountain of oil sprang out of the nipple, I, who have almost been reared on a primus. However, eventually it lit and we boiled a couple of eggs and ate a well-earned supper. We finally turned out the light at 10:45. Sunday the 2nd of June. I was awakened by rain falling heavily on the fly sheet at midnight, and Brett went out and slackened off the principal guys. At 1:15 we were awake again, and it was more than an hour later before we could get to sleep owing to the cold. We neither of us had undressed, but still we were perished. We kept waking up with the cold at hourly intervals till 7, and then had a fairly long sleep till after 9 when we got up. We didn't get away till nearly midday, and then Brett discovered a bad leak in his rear tyre, which delayed us a further half hour. We turned off the Chelmsford Road at Norton Heath, passed through Whittingales and Berners Roading to Good Easter, which we left by the Northern Road and reached Great Waltham at about 3. We passed through Little Waltham, whence we took the Turling Road, but branched south and crossing the Colchester Road, climbed through Boreham and Little Baddow to Danbury. Here we struck a fresh road which brought us out at East Hanningfield, and from there we followed the usual route home through Stock. We accomplished only 84 miles during the whole weekend, but we learnt many lessons, principally to take more blankets and to get sufficient food on Saturday to last over Sunday. Today we had nothing for dinner but bread, butter and condensed milk, and had to buy some chocolate on the way home. Still, we are not deterred and we will give camping another trial next week. We were unlucky as regards wind. It was strongly against us both coming and going. The weather on Saturday was unpromising in the morning, but cleared up before evening, and though we had plenty of rainfall during the night, we escaped any damage. It was very hot today while the sun shone. Saturday, the 8th of June. Brett came round at 2:30 and we set off along Longsdale Avenue and the bypass, keeping to the arterial road as far as Grays. The wind was from the southwest and strong, though somewhat diminished in force after last night. We turned off through Grays and Tilbury and reached the ferry soon after 4 o'clock. A boat had just arrived and, after waiting for the traffic to come aboard, we crossed the river. We cleared Gravesend by 4:30 and reached Rochester soon after 5. We turned off before reaching Chatham, up a hill, by a road that was newer than the map, and found the Maidstone Road near the top. After a good climb, we had a beautiful coast down into Maidstone, and left it just after 6 by the Folkestone Road. The going was good, though slightly uphill, and we had a powerful wind behind us. We traversed the 13 miles to Charing in under an hour, reaching that village just before 7 o'clock. We found a very smart and efficiently served general store where we bought our provisions and paraffin oil. Afterwards, we toiled up the hill and were lucky in fixing up at a cafe at the top. We had some difficulty in getting the water to boil, but by 10:30 we had had supper and soon afterwards went to sleep. Sunday the 9th of June, Whit Sunday. After last weekend's experience, I had brought an extra blanket with me, but though it kept off the extreme cold, I was still chilly round the back when I woke up this morning. Tonight I intend to sleep with a blanket inside the bag. Brett brought his kapok bag and was thoroughly warm. We awoke soon after 8 o'clock and were off by 11. We kept to the Canterbury Road for a time and then descended the North Downs along one or two by lanes till we came to Wye. I'm beginning to realise exactly why one has the impression of a lot of traffic in Kent. The reason appears to be that although there are plenty of good surfaced by roads turning off the main roads, there are very few direction posts. Indeed, while we were off the main roads in this county, I had constantly to refer to the map to make certain that we were taking the right turnings. Fortunately, the roads we travelled on hadn't been altered at all since the map was made. After further lane work, during which we saw very little traffic, we reached the Folkestone Road near Sellinge and followed it for a mile or two when we were pleased to turn off south and climb to Limpney. This is a pleasant village and well off the road. We descended Limpney Hill, a gradient of 1 in 7.5, and crossed Romney Marsh. Limpney Castle appeared a vast place and could be seen for miles. We crossed the 15-inch gauge railway that runs between Romney, Hythe and Dymchurch and were lucky to see one of its small trains puffing along. The carriages are proper bogey coaches and the passengers closed in. In fact, one would have imagined it a full-sized train from a distance, only the locomotive was an American design, complete with cowcatcher. We passed through Dymchurch and New Romney and then crossed Dungeness through Lydd, fetching up on the coast near Rye, where we lunched and stayed a couple of hours beside the sea. We left here about 5 o'clock, having decided that the nearest campsite, according to the handbook, was at Heathfield near Helsham, about 30 miles distant. We had the wind at our backs. It had gone round to the southeast overnight. We therefore climbed out of Rye, being not sorry at leaving the levels at last, and continued to ascend through Uddymore and Broad Oak, keeping to a B-class road which led to Battle. When within 7 miles of that place, we struck a road which led us out on the London Hastings Road, which was pretty busy. We crossed and followed several roads and by-roads, the contour resembling a switchback, and brought up at Brightling, whence we descended to Wood's Corner on the road that led to Heathfield. We did not reach our destination after all. We were within a few miles of it when Brett discerned a general shop that was open and bought some provisions. On my inquiry for directions to the place we intended to stay at, the owner of the shop offered us the option of camping on his lawn, and after due inspection, we were glad to accept. We began to set up the tent at about 8:30 and did not get settled down for the night before 11:30. Monday, the 10th of June. Whit Monday. The rain woke us early this morning and there was some thunder, but we soon went to sleep again. We were too lazy even to slack off the guy ropes. We slept late this morning and didn't awake till 9:00. As we were over 50 miles from London, we got away at once, resolving to wash and have breakfast at the first stream we crossed. We kept at the high road almost to Heathfield and then turned north down into the valley of the Rother and climbed up the other side. We had hot work climbing over the various ridges, but at midday reached Tidebrook, which has a pump where we refreshed ourselves, lit the primus, had breakfast and a wash. Afterwards, we kept roughly north till we joined the main Eastbourne Road at Frant and kept to it through Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge. Then we went through Shipbourne and Item, near which we had something to eat, and passing through Rotham, we climbed up the hill and came home via the main road through Farringham, Sidcup, Eltham and Woolwich. Altogether, we covered 164 miles at a cost of 3 shillings and 9 pence. We fared well, although we couldn't obtain any bread today and had to dine off corned beef alone. We were lucky in regard to weather. In fact, the only unfortunate part was Brett left the tent pegs behind. He brought those belonging to the fly sheet. We had to make wooden pegs for the rest out of live branches of bushes. The knife that Dad bought for my birthday tomorrow came in very useful for this. Saturday, the 15th of June. This afternoon, I went to the Carlton to see The Lives of a Bengal Lancer, with Gary Cooper and Franco Tone appearing. It was a good film and well worth seeing, though not so exceptionally good as some would have one believe. Wednesday, the 19th of June. Shortly before Whitsun, Mum's vacuum cleaner conked out. I took it to pieces and fabricated some brushes out of old battery carbons, but still it wouldn't work properly. The motor became enormously overheated and after a time smoked. I took it along to an electrician who said it would be as well to have the armature rewound, but the cost would be prohibitive, especially as the machine cost only £3.7 and 6. Saturday, the 22nd of June. This afternoon, Mum, Dad and I went to Barnsbury, by invitation, to have tea with Uncle Ken and family. I've never been to that part of London before, except through it on the North London Railway, and don't want to again. It resembles a mixture of the roughest parts of Peckham and Brixton. Saturday, the 29th of June. This weekend, we are again camping, this time in Hertfordshire. Brett was somewhat late, but we got clear by 4 o'clock and took Route 1 as far as Royden and then went through Ware to Hertford. The places mentioned in the handbook were all about the same area, starting with Burnham Green near Tewin and finishing at Cromer on the way to Ashwell. We had a look at the place at Burnham Green, but there were already two or three tents there, so we went off to Datchworth, where we succeeded in getting fixed up. It wasn't an ideal camping ground, as the grass was mostly about 2 foot high. However, it made a nice soft bed, and we were loaned some hay to make things more comfortable. We bought our stores and settled down to the preparation of supper. Now, previously, we've always had to wait a long time for the primus to heat the water, and indeed, I for one was fast losing my faith in the thing and wishing I'd bought a larger one. Dad had tried to find one or two of the burners of our former bigger stoves, but apart from one that wouldn't fit, he was unsuccessful. However, he gave the nipple a good going with the pricker during this week, and tonight it behaved perfectly. Whereas beforehand, we had to wait anything up to an hour for a meal to be cooked, we boiled the eggs, 2 each, and milk for drinking, and another billy of washing up water inside a quarter of an hour. Sunday the 30th of June. Owing to the excessive heat yesterday, I did not bring a blanket with me, but hoped my sleeping bag alone would be warm enough. This was not the case. It became very cold, and I had the most violent fit of cramp I can ever hope for. However, after sunrise it became warmer, and I was able to get a good sleep in. Brett didn't bring his bag either, but a curtain to serve as a blanket, and he was little warmer than I was. Our mileage was 36 yesterday, and 82 today, making a total of 118 for the weekend, all at a cost of 2 shillings and 4 pence.